All right, so last week we began the first line of the main section of Kedusha, Kadosh, 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 and we discussed last week a couple of ideas about what the repetition of Kadosh, 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 what that means. We discussed the idea of the Vilna Gaon, that the idea that Hashem's Kedusha is in a qualitative way, on a different scale, a different plane than any other Kedusha that there is. So I wanted to talk about tonight about the rest of the line. And I wanted to primarily talk about the explanation. We'll go with the explanation of the Ibn Ezra in Parshas Bo about what some of the words mean, and try and fit it into how that what that means in the context of Kedusha. The rest of the line is Hashem Tzivakos Melo Chol Aretz Kevodo. You say that Kadosh, 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 holy, 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 Hashem Tzivakos. So we'll talk about exactly what that means. Melo Chol Aretz Kevodo. That the all of the earth is filled with his kavod, with his honor, glory, something like that. We'll try and also discuss exactly what the idea of kavod is as well. So the Ibn Ezra in Parshas Bo explains that the name Tzivakos, when we call Hashem that name, that it refers to Hashem being in charge of all of the Tzivaos Shalmala, or Tzva Marum, all of the multitudes, all of the hosts, all of the many beings in creation, and primarily the heavenly beings. But it refers to the fact that Hashem is in charge of all of the vast array of the beings that he created, that Hashem is in charge of all of them. So the word Tzva literally means an army. So Hashem Tzivakos refers to Hashem being the leader, the one in charge of all of the multitudes of creation. So we start off the line, we say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. We say Hashem is completely Kadosh, completely Nivdal, completely separate and removed and beyond creation and distinct from all facets of existence. But he's still Hashem Tzivakos. He's still the God of multitudes. He's still intimately connected to the Bria. He's still the leader. He's still in charge of all of the creations that he created. We have a line that we say this line in the Prakim of Tehillim that we say in Hallel, so that Hashem is Magbihi Lasheves. That Magbihi Lasheves. That Hashem is very lofty in where he is throned, where he sits. But mashpili liros b'shamayim v'aretz. But he lowers himself to see in shamayim and in aretz. He lowers himself. He's magbil hashavas. He sits in Hashem's place, is a very lofty place. But he's mashpili liros b'shamayim v'aretz. He lowers himself to look into, to watch after, to be concerned with shamayim and aretz, with the creation which he created. The Chazal say that in Torah, in Nevi'im, and in Ksuvim, we find that kol makom shata motze gedulaso, that anywhere where you find Hashem's greatness, sham ata motze anvasanuso, so there you find his humility. And the Gemara then brings an example from Torah where you find the pasuk describes something very great about Hashem, and then the very next pasuk is shows how Hashem the humility that Hashem has, and then an example from Nevi'im, the same thing, where you find in the same context of discussing Hashem's greatness, where it talks about, shows an example of how Hashem lowers himself, and again in Ksuvim, and in a very superficial reading of the Gemara, it's just kind of like the two are kind of put together to show that, both exist. And, every time there's a mention of the godless, you also happen to find a mention of Hashem's anava. But I think that there is a much more fundamental meaning of the Gemara, which is that where you find the godless of Hashem, that there you find his humility, because the more one appreciates Hashem's greatness, the more one understands the degree to which Hashem is gadol, so the more one sees the extent of his anava in that which he relates to the world. That because he's so great, that's what shows how, what anava it is that he lowers himself to interact with the world. But that's exactly the chiddush of it, is that even though Hashem is so great, and maybe as an example of, or a display of that, that he's so great, and yet, or in that, within the fact that he's so great, that doesn't hold him back from being connected to the world, from being mashpili liros b'shamayim ba'aretz, from lowering himself to be concerned with shamayim and aretz. So that's the we say kadosh, kadosh, kadosh. We say Hashem is absolutely holy, absolutely separate and beyond anything we can understand. But at the same time, he's Hashem Tzivakos. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the one who is in charge and in control and looking over everything that he created. So that, I think, leads very logically into the rest of the line. We'll explain exactly how that follows. The rest of the line is, the Hemshech, the continuation is, Melo chol ha'aretz kevodo, that the entire earth is full of his kavod, of his honor. So I want to just, before we figure out exactly how that fits in, it's necessary to understand exactly what the idea of kavod is. I mean, kavod means glory, means honor. You know, kavod is something that you're supposed to run away from. You're supposed to be a rodif min a kavod, and someone who chases after kavod. That's not a good thing. So exactly what is kavod, and what does it mean that Hashem has kavod? If kavod is a bad thing for us, but it seems to be a good thing for Hashem, so exactly what is the idea of kavod? And the word kavod, and we'll try and demonstrate this. I have to take my word for it before we prove it, but the word kavod means a manifestation of something. The way in which something is represented or given attention, that is the kavod of that thing. We find in the Gemara, there's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. The pasuk says, when Yechezkel, I believe, is describing the eventual building of the second base of Migdash, and he says, Gadol yia kavod habayis ha'acharon min harishon, that the kavod of the second bayis, of the second temple, will be greater than the first. And the Gemara quotes a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, that one of them said that, what does that mean, that the kavod of the second bayis will be greater than the first, is that it will stand for a longer period of time, because the first base of Mikdash stood for 410 years, and the second base of Mikdash stood for 420 years. And the other one said it's going to be gadol, the kavod will be greater, that it's going to be greater in size, because the first bayis, the ulam was machlokes, I think either 20 amos and the second was 50, or the first one was 50, the second one was 100, but the ulam of the second base of Mikdash was much larger than the ulam of the first base of Mikdash. And therefore, that's how you see that the kavod of the bayis was greater than the first. Both, and the Gemara says that, of course, they are both correct. The which one is the most immediate meaning of the psukim they're arguing about, but they're both true. The second bayis stood for longer and was larger inside. But why is that the machlokas about what it means that the kavod of the bayis was greater? Because kavod means the degree to which something is there. Something is manifest. The presence of something is its kavod. And one of them said that its kavod was going to be greater, means it'll be here for greater in time, right? It's going to be more manifest in terms of its duration. And the other one, it's going to be more manifest in terms of the physical space that it takes up. But both of them understood that what it means, gadol yia kavod, means it's going to have a greater presence. Just their machlokas was, is that presence greater in time or in space? But the implication of greater kavod meant it's going to have a greater physical manifestation. And in, you know, just the colloquial usage, we understand that something which gives you recognition is called kavod, right? Something where it's a kavod for you means that you'll be recognized for it, being the being, you know, seen, being appreciated, being recognized. That's what the idea of kavod is. For us, for mankind, kavod is one of the worst things you could have. There is such a thing as as doing something in a bekavadik way. You're not supposed to disgrace yourself. But we say, you know, your rodef achar kavod is negative. A person is supposed to be boreach min a kavod, is supposed to run away from kavod. So for man, kavod can be is a very negative thing. And the Baalei Mussar say that the greatest yetzer hara that a person has is actually the yetzer hara for kavod. And one of the most essential pleasures that a person gets is from kavod. And it's something which is very strange, because if you think about it, kavod is something which is totally in your head. It's something you don't, if you think about it, there's no like physical enjoyment of kavod, but it's something that people really want. People want to be, they have this desire to be recognized. It's a real struggle when someone does something which is praiseworthy to keep it to themselves and just appreciate their accomplishment in and of themselves. So there's a real struggle to against this desire for kavod. So what exactly, why is it that way, and why is kavod such a negative thing for people? So the Baalei Mussar say that kavod is a reward or experience, the word I'm looking for, that kavod is an experience which is the most similar to the true reward, to the ultimate schar of the real schar that a person gets for their actions. And therefore say some of the Baalei Mussar that to an extent receiving kavod actually takes away from the true schar that a person is going to get in Olam Haba, because it's a substitute. Why is it a substitute? Because man exists in a state of being temporal, of being temporary, of being transient. We have an essential state of non-existence, like we talked about last week when we talked about the idea that the malachim, they don't go too high, because they'll come too close to the recognition that we don't really exist, that nothing really exists outside of Hashem. And man exists in this essential state of non-existence, and we're dependent on the existence of an other. And there's a sense in ourselves of this dependency of our existence, and therefore the lack of reality of our own existence. And the primary desire of man is to achieve of a measure of reality and of permanence. They say that Napoleon, when he was getting older, I don't think he got that old before he was no longer, but later in his reign, that he wanted to put up statues all over the world, because he wanted to ensure that after he was gone, that there would be statues of him, that, you know, his representation would be there. He's going to be dead. I have no idea if Napoleon believed in God and believed in the afterlife, but either way, you know, it's certainly not here. And like, what does he care if after he's gone there are statues of him and people remember him? That's the most basic desire of a person, is to achieve permanence. I want to have reality that I'm not bound by the temporary nature of my short life here, and that there is a reality to my existence. And therefore Napoleon wanted that after he was gone, that his presence, that his visage was still here all over the world. That there's a gaining recognition, gaining a manifestation of yourself in this world gives a counterfeit feeling of permanence and of having a reality. And therefore, it is in a convoluted kind of way a substitute for the true schar. The true schar is achieved by connecting to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. When we connect ourselves to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then we gain true existence by connecting to the real true existence. And to the extent that we give ourselves a narcotic version of that, the extent to which we give ourselves the counterfeit feeling of that, we've substituted the true feeling of reality for our made-up substitute. And that, you know what, if you take that, if you want to gain that experience through the counterfeit way, so that's going to be your substitute for your true schar. And therefore, for man, getting kavod is the most dangerous thing, because you're trying to substitute an alternate reality for the true reality. You're trying to gain existence and gain permanence through making yourself, trying to put yourself here and say that, and have your existence be recognized. That's exactly the opposite of your real existence is realizing that my existence is not the real existence, and the real existence is Hashem, and I'm supposed to connect myself and be mevatel myself to that, and that's where a person gains their true existence. And therefore, the kavod is this idea of the recognition of the reality of an existence. Melo chol ha'aretz kavodo. What does it mean that the world is filled with the Hashem's kavod? Is that by Hashem, kavod is, we praise Hashem for his kavod. We want to be marbe kavod Hashem. Because by Hashem, kavod is the recognition of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, seeing the more in which Hashem is manifested, is recognized in the world, the more that the true reality is presented in the world. That's what it's called being marbe kavod Hashem. And by Hashem's kavod, that's the ultimate goal, is to show the reality of Hashem's existence. And the more that we can recognize Hashem within the world, the more the world's true purpose and true goal of there being a world is recognized. And therefore, that by Hashem, kavod Hashem is the ultimate goal. And melo chol ha'aretz kavodo is that Hashem's kavod fills the entire world. That's the ultimate praise of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Siach Yitzchak here, I typed the whole thing up to read it. The Siach Yitzchak here discusses, what does it mean, melo chol ha'aretz kavodo? What does it mean that the world is filled with Hashem's kavod? So says the Siach Yitzchak, melo chol ha'aretz kavodo, pirush, mashahu melo chol ha'aretz, that which Hashem fills the entire world, mechai v'tzomeach v'domeim, the living beings and the plant kingdom and the inanimate objects, hu kvodo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the kavod. That is the manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki kol ha-mistakel b'masa agadol asher asa Hashem b'shamayim v'aretz. Anybody who looks at the great things that Hashem did in Shemayim and in Arts, in the heavens and in the earth, Bayamu Vayabasha, in the sea and in the dry land, Tzatzaehen Vitzivosehen, the results and their outgrowths and everything that comes from them, Yimatze Bahem Romus Kalu Kvod, will find in them the loftiness of Hashem and Hashem's kavod. From the little bit that man can grasp, from the measure and the amount and the nature of the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that way Hashem put things into nature, yishtomim libo, he's going to be astounded. Lo tispa eino liros, his eye is not going to be satiated from seeing it all. Velo timala ozno mishmoa, and you couldn't, fill his ear from hearing it. There's always more to hear. Bir oso godel agufim hashamayim, seeing how great the celestial bodies are. Gavan min haaretz, hamav yaldas adam, how far away they are from the earth. It's astounding to think this is even 200 years ago. So even then they already post Galileo and telescopes and all of that fun stuff recognize and realize that millions and billions of miles away that everything in Shemayim is v'chein chukoseim u'misiloseim u'mirutzasam. And all of the laws of physics which govern the cosmos and their paths and their speed. And if you look at the two luminaries, the sun and the moon, how from so far away they can provide such an influence on the world, the light from the sun and the shine of the moon, and that's in terms of the greatness of Hashem's creation, the largeness, the magnitude. If you look at the microscopic things which are here in the world, ilu hayu gedolam gedolam elef pamim mashahein, even if they would be 1,000 times larger than what they actually are, lotiram ein ein adam, still the human eye would not be able to see them. Zulasi alde hamaros megadlos as hamuchashim alachz revavos rabos, except for with these devices which make things much many times, meaning a microscope. Right? The things that even if they're 1,000 times the size that they are, you wouldn't be able to see them without the help of a microscope. Va'af al pichin him brios gemuros, and even so, they're complete structure, they're complete organisms. Misukanos be'evarim hatzrichim lahem. They've got limbs, and it's not just a blob. It's an actual complete organism with the functioning parts and different biological structures. V'halo yifla adam al ha'oz, Person who's astounded, should be so flabbergasted by the incredible strength of Hashem to create all of these things from the beginning till the end. V'im kulam miyad Hashem hu, and if all of this is the hand of Hashem, ma ma'od na'alehu yisparach lebli sof v'tichle, u'ma ma'od niskav kavodo le'in cheker mikol koach mikol gedula v'kavod. Then how elevated is Hashem, who is limitless, and how great is his kavod beyond all investigation between any other greatness and any kavod. So says the Siach Yitzchak, that we look at the world and seeing all of the greatness of Hashem represented in the world, seeing the incredible vastness of the universe and everything that Hashem created and how enormous it is, and seeing the detail, the minuteness of the detail of the world, all of that, says the Siach Yitzchak, that's what it means, Molochol Arts Kevodo. You look at the world and you can see in everything a presentation of the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of how incredible HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation is, and that's a reflection of how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and being able to see the manifestation of Hashem in everything, that's what it means, Molochol Arts Kevodo, that the entire world is a manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness.
So I've always wondered, why is the word Aretz? Aretz is limited. It's land, it's not sea, it's not universe. It's a very small... Why not Olam?
Right. So that's a good question. Two things. First of all, the truth is that the word Olam in a biblical usage does not actually mean world. We only find one place in all of Tanakh where Olam might have the meaning of world or universe, which is Olam Chesed Yibane, which is a machlokas rishonim, exactly what the word Olam in that pasuk means. But everywhere else, Olam always means eternity.
I see.
So the word Olam, I think we use the word Olam to mean world, because Olam, I think, really just means context of existence. So our Olam is the world, is the universe. Olam also means the all of eternity of the dimension of time. But the word Eretz, as opposed to like Yabasha, Eretz can have the context of being the world as a whole. Like, for example, when we say that, when it says, Breishis Bara Elokim es Hashamayim ves Haaretz, so Aretz in that context, the Ramban explains, Shamayim in that context means the spiritual realm, and Aretz means everything else. So there, the physical sky and the earth and all of it is all that can be described as Aretz. Sometimes you have a good point, because sometimes we do find that the two are identified. Sometimes we do say Eretz v'Shamayim, right, to mean the two separate things. But Eretz can also have the connotation of basically all, like the physical realm, which is what I think it's being understood to mean here. So that's really the idea here. When we talk about the reality of existence, a getting the sense that this is the real existence. So when it comes to us, so kavod is a dangerous thing for us, because kavod can give us a false sense of reality, of our own reality. When it comes to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, kavod is the opposite. Kavod is the only presentation of true reality, and seeing that the appearance, seeing the reflection of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in everything, that's the ultimate kavod. In the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, "Haposek milimudo va'amar ma na'e ilan zu," that if someone interrupts his learning and says, "How pleasant, how beautiful is this tree?" Nischayev benafsho, he's responsible for his own life. He's culpable for, he's taken his life into his own hands. He's really put himself at risk. So there certainly is the straightforward understanding of the Mishnah is, the importance of, hasmada, and not being distracted when you're focusing on Hashem's Torah to be looking at everything else is inappropriate. But there are some of the Mefarshim who say, I think maybe a deeper idea in the Mishnah. They say that it's haposek milimudo, somebody who interrupts his learning and says, how nice is this tree? That person is nischayev benafsho, that person is responsible for his life, because the person who sees looking at the tree, the person who sees looking at nature as an act of pausing his learning, of interrupting his learning, that person is nischai v'nafsho. When you looked at the world, you saw that as a break in your learning. You saw that as a break in understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he's nischai v'nafsho. One is a person is meant to see Hashem's image in everything. And that the person who doesn't understand that, who thinks that, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the words of the Torah, and everything else is, you know, something else, and everything else is a distraction from that, that person is failing to appreciate the depth of where you can find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I think we discussed it.
I'd like to think that's what it means. That's the way I see it, but it doesn't seem to be that's what was intended in the story.
I mean, I don't know. That's the Mefarshim is saying that it specifically says haposek milimudo ve'amar, somebody who stops his learning and says, as opposed to someone who I think we discussed this before, that the idea that there's an experiential aspect to appreciating the Torah, which we talked about. I don't remember. I think we discussed it, that the avos, that before the Torah was given, say that the avos were able to knew the whole Torah. They didn't have the words. They didn't have this. Said that until the Torah was given at Har Sinai, the Torah existed without words. So exactly, what did they know by living in the world and experiencing the world? And as we know, the Zohar tells us, "Istakel ba'araisu bara alma," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked into the Torah and through that created the world. The Torah is the blueprint on which all of creation was created. So a person who's sensitive enough to be able to look at the product and work back towards the blueprint, towards the model, so that person can get, in a sense, a much deeper understanding, because they can see all of the detail in an experiential, living their life is an experience of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind for creation. And therefore, there's a Malocho La'aretz Kevodo, is that there's a deeper level of the appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through looking at his world, looking at his creations. The Chazal say that one of the questions you'll be asked when you go up to Shemayim is, did you enjoy my world? Because the Kaddish Baruch Hu was, I put something here for you to appreciate, not because I wanted you to be hedonistic, but because I wanted you to have an appreciation of the greatness of the world, and through that to experience the greatness of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. The Rambam in Mor Nevochim in Chelek Aleph Perek Yud Tes says that the word, the Rambam there is really laying the groundwork for explaining a lot of these psukim about the Maisa Merkava and those, all of the revelations in Yechezkel. So the Rambam there gives a lot of definitions, and he defines the word male, mem lamed aleph. He says that male, the word means full. The Rambam says the word means hashlama. The word means the completion of something. Bringing something to its completion is called milo. When you to fill something is to bring it to its completion. And therefore, says the Rambam, and the Rambam explains the our pasuk, that milo chol haaretz kevodo, that the words of the Rambam, kol haaretz me'ida al shleimuso kolomar mora alav, that the entire world testifies, which meaning demonstrates his perfection, that Hashem's kavod is what brings the world to its fulfillment, that the manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that demonstration of Hashem in the world, that's what gives the world its meaning, that's what gives the world its hashlama, its purpose and its completion. It's the same idea that we've been discussing, the same idea of the Siach Yitzchak, that the entire Bria, the entirety of creation, demonstrates Hashem's perfection, and one sees it manifest in creation. And that's we say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. We say Hashem is ultimately holy and separate and beyond us. But Hashem Tzavakos, he's the master of the world. He's in charge of everything that he created. And Malo Chol Haaretz Kevodo. And the entire world, the entire nature of creation is there to bring out an appreciation of that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately in charge of. The greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the vastness and the precision and the detail that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts in the world is all meant to be a demonstration, is meant to be something that we can appreciate the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we can appreciate the true reality of existence, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence through looking at the world. And the more that we are able to take that message from the creation, the more that creation has fulfilled its purpose, the more the creation, the world, is a kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the Meloch Haaretz Kavodo, that the world is this manifestation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All right, we'll pause here for this evening.